धारी यशोदानंदना व्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंजबिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Jayantabhava Paramahansa Buddhika Church, Church of Sri Sri Madhava Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupati Jai. ISKCON BPT Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupati Jai. Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Buddhika Church, Astotra to Sri Sri Madhava Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sunday Feast Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this fourth day of August 2015 in Alachua, Florida, we're speaking at the Sunday feast, and the theme tonight is Karma, Dharma, and Sharma, from bondage to bliss. And so we're going to begin with text 9 of chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Some of you know this, you could chant along. Later on, we'll have a little special slideshow. Yagyatat kamanonyatra Loko yang karma bandhanaha Tadartam karma konteya Mukta sangha samachara. So Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So I'm going to read this little purport, and we'll go from there. Since one has to work even for the simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for a particular social position and quality are so made that that purpose can be fulfilled. Yajna means Lord Vishnu or sacrificial performances, one or the other. All sacrificial performances also are meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. The Vedas enjoin yajna by Vishnu. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yajnas or directly serves Lord Vishnu. Krishna consciousness is therefore performance of yajna sacrifice as it is prescribed in this verse. The Varnashram institution also aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu. Prabhupada quotes from the Vishnu Purana here. Varnashram achata bhata purushena parakvaman Vishnu aradyate pumsa nanyatadteshakaranam. Therefore, one has to work for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Any other work done in this material world will be a cause of bondage, for both good and evil work have their reactions, and any reaction binds the performer. Therefore, one has to work in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna or Vishnu, and while performing such activities, one is in a liberated stage. This is the great art of doing work, and in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna, or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, under whom Arjuna had the opportunity to work. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification, but everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. This practice will not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. Om Jnanatam Randasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So the Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Krishna, is meant for everyone, meaning that everyone who begins reading the Bhagavad Gita, we can find where we're at that moment and move forward. And so chapter 3, of course chapter 2 is an introduction to the general book, general introduction, and gives a summary and a little bit of everything. But in chapter 3, Karma Yoga, Krishna begins to describe exactly where we're at, meaning that we're working, we're acting in this world, and by doing so in ignorance or without any guidance, we remain bound up by the results of those actions. As Lord Brahma says in his Brahma Samhita, Yastvindra Gopam Atavendra Mahoswa Karma Bondan Rupa Palabhajana Matanoti. From Lord Indra down to the little germ, everyone is bound up by the results of his karma or his activities, either good or bad. And so life after life, we remain bound up in this way. Now, in the human form of life, we have higher intelligence. And so we can decide what kind of activity we're going to perform for our ultimate good. If we have no guidance, we simply act according to the impulses of the senses and the mind, then we're basically leading animal life. And this comes, when we discuss Dharma, we'll discuss this also. So as Krishna says here, work has to be done as a sacrifice for Vishnu. And then it has no reaction. Rather, it gradually liberates one. Now, why is that? Because when we speak of karma in this context, we're speaking of fruit of activity, meaning that the motivation is enjoyment of oneself, one's own senses, or the subtle mind, some emotional or some more subtle benefit, but in either case, it's self-centered, commonly called fruit of work. Prabhupada calls this fruit of work. So this is one of the meanings of karma. Now, another meaning of karma can mean work according to the Vedic paradigm or Vedic instructions. And in that case, it's still fruitive, but you're working according to rules and regulations, aiming to a better life in this world or even a life in the heavenly planets. Now, this doesn't really solve our problem, as Krishna so cogently explains in chapter 7 and chapter 9. Because even if you are able to get to the heavenly planets, then now you're enjoying. It's just like you're putting money in the bank, money in the bike. You're working very hard. You're not enjoying. You're saving your money. And your credit card is building up this big balance. And then you go to the heavenly planets and you're spending that credit card. All the punya is being spent. And eventually it runs out. Chine punya martyalokam vishanti. Krishna says you may enjoy for many, many, many years godly delights. But in the end, you have to come back down to this world of death and start all over again with fruit of activity. So, but if our activities are meant for the enjoyment of Vishnu or Krishna, and the fruits, as far as possible, of course we have to live in this world, but as far as possible are being given for Krishna's pleasure, there's no such reaction. Rather, we are purifying our heart, and not only that, but eliminating lifetimes full of previous karma we don't even know about, and paving our way for return back to Godhead. So this is why the activity that we do, everything is counted. And the motive in which we do it and the results that we get are all determined by higher laws. So this brings, so how do we know how to act in this world for our ultimate benefit? This was Arjuna's question in chapter 2, text 7, where he wanted to know, how can I work for my ultimate good? He had an argument with Krishna. Remember? He was speaking as friend to friend. Krishna is actually serving as his servant, as the charioteer. So when he went between those two armies and he looked on the other side, he saw his friends, he saw his worshipable teacher, Dronacharya, he saw Bhishma Dev, who both sides revered highly, right? And so many other relatives. And so he said, I don't want to kill them. You know, what's the point of having the kingdom if it's saturated with their blood? You know, I can't enjoy the kingdom. Let me just go off to the forest and beg. And he had so many arguments from the Vedas. Why, if I kill all these men, the women will be unprotected. There'll be so many Vanyasankara, the world will go to hell, and I'll be responsible. So let me go off soon. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He was still torn because he knew that Krishna didn't like that. So finally he surrendered, right? And he says, Karpanyadosho bahata sabhava prichamitam dharma samudacheta. And this brings up the subject of dharma. He says, my dear Lord, my dear Krishna, I'm overwhelmed with this miserly weakness, which is very unbefitting a kshatriya. He knew that. And I'm completely bewildered about dharma. What is the right thing to do? What is the thing that will bring me the ultimate good? Shreya. So he said, now you please tell me for sure what I can, for certain, what I can do for my ultimate yat shreya ksyan nishtitam bruhitam me. Nishtitam means without doubt. You know, because I can't figure it out. And shishya steham shari mantram papannam. This is the key. It says, now I'm no longer in the role of your friend to friend, but in the role of your shishya. Very important word. You know, each Sanskrit word has a root that many other words can come from. You go back to the root. So Prabhupada explained this word shishya. It just has the same root, shash, that is there in the word shastra, and Shastra. Now, Shastra, we know, is the good books, right? The books of Scripture, revealed Scripture, Prabhupada's given us. Now, what are we meant to do with those books? Let it control us, right? We're meant to surrender to the instructions of these books because they're really the instructions of Krishna and his pure devotees. That's what these books are made of. Shastra is also a controlling element, weapons, right? And shishya means a disciple who is willing to be controlled by the guru. That's what it means to be. So therefore, he says, papannam, at the end of the verse. I surrender unto you. Now please instruct me. So the whole relationship changes there. And it keys on dharma. He's confused about dharma. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the word dharma. You know the verse? Dharma chetre, kuru chetre. So the battle being fought on the field of dharma. So we know that this is not going to be an ordinary fight. And it ends, Krishna ends his instructions with dharma. Sarva dharma padichaja mame kam sharanam raja. Give up all these other dharmas and just do this one dharma, sanatana dharma. Surrender unto me and perform devotions. So how are we going to know? We're in a quandary here, although we don't know it. This is our problem. But Krishna conscious means, oh, I have a problem. I'm in the material world. I'm suffering. And I'm trying to be happy, but everything is being frustrated. And ultimately, we face old age, disease, and death. And we know, in lesson one, that we'll come around again. Right? So this is the basic problem of all life, but especially human life, because we can understand it. So, therefore, we need guidance. What to do to solve this basic problem? And this comes in the form of the Shastra, and Krishna is speaking here for our purpose. So he gives the basic principle, which is the principle of pure bhakti, as Prabhupada often does. You know, Krishna is speaking about yajna, he's speaking about karma, but Prabhupada ends up in the purpose speaking about pure devotional service. This is why it's Bhagavad Gita as it is. So therefore, in order to purify our activities, to act on the platform of naishkarmya, Krishna talks about akarma, vikarma, karma, in chapter 4. One has to know the difference. So, akarma means acting without good or bad result. This is the word of naishkarmya, akarma, the basic same thing. Vikarma is vicious activity, fruitive activity with no reference to the shastra, no reference to any control, just whatever feels good. Or you make up your own rules, you know, and you act on them. But this is what we're surrounded by. Everyone's performing vikarma here. Fruitive activity that's leading us to hell, according to Rishabdev, all the Shastras. And karma in this context means, as I mentioned, activity that's fruitive, but within the Vedic paradigm. In other words, you're at least following the karma kanda section of the Vedas, where there's all these rules and regulations for sacrifice. You know, you're leading a moral life with the aim of enjoying later. So it's not pure devotional service by any means. So this akarma or naishkarma is what we need to aim for and understand the goal of it. Naishkarmya, as explained in chapter 4, is activity that's not fruitive and that simply has its goal pleasing Krishna. This is the ultimate naishkarmya. And this is what this movement is meant for. This is what the foundation of this movement. As Rupa Goswami explains in the very first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says the principle of vairagya, that as we live in this world, to cultivate detachment from the object of the senses, but still to act, just like in this temple or any center of Krishna consciousness, there are so many things to do, right? So many duties to perform, but they're all meant for one thing, for the pleasure of Radha Shyama Sundar, isn't it? That's the pleasure. Someone sweeps this floor, they're not thinking, okay, I'm going to sweep the floor really nicely, then I'll get my $15 an hour and I'll go. No. Everyone is, can I sweep the floor? Please. I remember one of my first services when I joined in Brooklyn. You know, we had this big maha cleanup. We had so many devotees. If we all cleaned for 15 minutes every morning, the whole place would be good clean. So my duty was to mop the temple room floor with Radha Govinda, you know, from Brooklyn. They're in Brooklyn now. They were in a different Brooklyn temple then. And I was on my hands and knees. There was no mop. You know, you had the bucket and you had the clean cloth. And I was just feeling, you know, how many births did I take in order to come to this position to be able to clean the floor while Radha Govinda was looking right at me. So that's really the mood that our activity is meant to be all the time, is that whatever we do is ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna. And then there's no reaction. The result of that is that you awaken your love for the Lord, which is really the goal, as Prabhupada explains. So let's talk about Dharma, for instance, because Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, because there's all different kinds of Dharma, but Sanatana Dharma is that activity, according to Sutta Goswami, second chapter, first canto, which awakens pure love for Krishna. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratyata yatma supersedati. Remember the Bhagavatam, the setup is that all these sages have gathered at Naimisharanya, and they're very concerned about us. They see Kali Yuga with their spiritual vision is going to be so degrading. How can people be benefited in this age? And so Sutta Goswami is placed as the speaker because he had heard Shukadeva Goswami speak the Bhagavatam to King Parikshit. And just try to wrap your mind around understanding the clarity of mind and the peacefulness of mind that someone can have, that hearing 18,000 verses spoken and memorizing every one of them just by hearing them once. It's practically inconceivable. You know, we have to drill and drill and drill just to get one verse from the Bhagavad Gita. He had absorbed this completely, and now he's going to speak it for the sages at Naimisharanya. And right at the beginning, Dharma Prajita Kaita Votra. There's no cheating dharmas here. Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all the Vedic knowledge, and it deals wholly and solely with pure devotion to Krishna. No compromise with fruitive activity or anything like that. So then they asked him, well, what is that activity? They're not wasting any time. What's that activity? What's that dharma by which the soul could be completely satisfied? And then right in the second chapter of the first canto, practically you've just sat down to read the Bhagavatam and you're already reading the conclusion. I think this, you know, the Bhagavatam is like that, is that you'll see so many complete lessons as you read through the Bhagavatam, which we should read the whole thing. But I think they understood that these Kali Yugites, they may not get through even the first canto, but at least if they get to the second chapter, they'll get the complete knowledge. So he starts out, Sovai Pungsang Paro Dharma, that dharma, that activity, that regulated activity, which awakens bhakti, pure devotion to Adhokshaja, Krishna can completely satisfy the self. But it has these two very, very important qualities, ahoituki and apadeyata. Ahoituki means completely free of selfish motivation. No idea that, you know, bhakti or devotional service tinged with the mode of passion. I'm going to come and pray to Krishna, you know, please, if I only had an extra $1,000, I could pay my tuition this time. Please, you know, I think, no, not like that. That's, people come, you know, religion, people come for that reason. That's not pure devotion. That's Kaitava Dharma. So as Rupa Goswami, so, you know, defines it right at the beginning. Anabhilashita shunyam jnana karma nyanavritam anukulena krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttama. This is the foundation of this movement. This is what it's for. And that is that the definition of pure devotional service, of uttama bhakti, is untinged, uncovered by any other desire. Anya abhilashita shunyam, the void, categorized as jnana, karma, and adi, etc. Jnana means desire for liberation. Karma means fruit of desire, ordinary fruit of desire. No tinge of that covering. Okay, that's negative. What do we do then? Anukulena krishnanushilanam. Very, very pregnant, you know, this is the great acharyas. In a few words, they packed in so much meaning. Anukulena means favorable to Krishna, with the intention of pleasing Krishna. Not by accident, by the intention. Anukulena krishnanushilanam. Anushilanam means activity that cultivates this mood of a selfless service, completely selfless service, Krishna. This is bhakti uttama. This is what we're aiming for. So that's what's being described here. And he does it in the context of varnashram, actually. He's going through dharma, artha, kama, moksha, right here in these few verses. But we won't get into all of that. So Prabhupada's translation, the supreme occupation or dharma for all humanity is that by which human beings can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So this is how our activities can be molded according to this the rules of dharma as laid out by the shastra and given by the disciplic succession, where not only won't we be bound by our activities, but our activities will positively proceed to awaken in our hearts this pure loving devotion to Krishna, which is the actual goal of life. Prema is the goal of all life. So that's a big topic. You know, what is that dharma and what are all the details? Well, that's described in the books of Srila Prabhupada. You read the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and 64, right? Different elements, different activities, do's and don'ts, you know, and aparads to avoid. Here's what to do and what not to do. Every process of activity where we're aiming toward a goal has do's and don'ts, proscriptions and prescriptions. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajanam. These are the first two elements of surrender. Accepting those things favorable for devotional service and rejecting those things that are unfavorable. Now, this may be a little bit difficult. That's where the austerity comes in. Because we're conditioned, those things which are favorable for devotional service, getting up early in the morning, attending Mangal Arati, taking a cold shower, oh my God. Here I was just coming from Tucson, and you can't take a cold shower there. It's so hot that the water is warm and hot. But you can do the best you can, you know. But generally, cold shower, we were told, right, Ishan? It cleans the subtle body as well. It's very healthy in the morning. Anyway, there's certain things. Okay, I surrendered. If you understand the benefit, if you surrender, this will help me. And so many things we need to give up that we're attached to. This is our conditioning. So the whole key is to strengthen the intelligence through hearing personally and through hearing through reading and associating with devotees, so that you have the spiritual strength to accept the things you know you should accept and to reject those things you know you shouldn't accept. Now, this is why there's an importance of the spiritual master. Because if we try to do it all on our own, we don't have a personal connection, then the mind can take over and become our spiritual master. And what is that saying? One who has a spiritual mind, a spiritual master, has a fool for a disciple? Something like that. Think about it. The thing is, the mind is at now our worst enemy. Think of chapter 6. Krishna says, He says, one should elevate oneself by the mind, not degrade oneself. If the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy. The mind which is out of control, which is saturated with material desire, which has taken over our will, if you will, is our worst enemy. You know? People, forgive me if I bring in this, but you know, it's in the news periodically. What kind of society is this? Some crazy guy gets in his mind that it's a good thing. What I want to do is to go into some school and shoot up a school. Just happened again. We know, living in America. And how many times has it happened in the last year? 20 times. It's crazy. What is that? Obviously, it's madness. Here's a person who is controlled by this mad mind, mode of ignorance, and wants to become famous for a couple of days, and so kills innocent people like that. This is the world we live in. So our minds aren't so crazy, hopefully. But the thing is, we've been living in this world so long that the mind is filled with all these desires, and we need to have a discipline to reform it and control it and make it our friend. This is what Bhakti Yoga is all about. So what is that dharma? Well, let's just go over the five main principles. There's 64. And Srila Prabhupada, in his infinite wisdom, he took the five main ones and he made it into the morning program. This morning program that we have. The kirtan, the Mangal Arati, the Guru Puja, the Tosi Puja, the Japa, very important, and of course the class. So these are the five main ones were chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, associating with devotees, living in a holy place, and worshipping the deity with faith and reverence. So think about it. This is what we do. We've come here, we're able, even though you're not on the altar, singing the holy name, seeing the deity with love and affection. This is deity worship. Even though we're not qualified, most of us, to go on the altar and get very pure, but that's deity worship. In the midst of devotees, we're singing Hare Krishna. You're hearing Bhagavatam, more or less, here. You know, it's all Bhagavad Gita. And where is that taking place? In a holy place. This is a holy place, a place where Krishna is worshipped and Krishna's devotees are there active. So this is by the great effort of Srila Prabhupada, we should appreciate those gifts. This is why I love Mangal Arati. The first thing you hear, Samsara Dava Nadavida Loka Tranaya. Right? That's the first combination of words. So, yes, I was also burning in the forest fire of material life. Samsara Dava Nadavida Loka. Everybody is, but we understand it. And Tranaya. The spiritual master has come, and like a rain cloud, he rained down his mercy in the form of the books, the holy name, the devotees, the movement, everything. You know, this is, and now we're saved. So your heart should flood with gratitude. And what's the natural thing for any normal human being to feel gratitude? Oh, I want to do some service. I want to do something to say thank you. And that's the moving force of devotional service. Yes, I cannot repay my debt to the spiritual master, or the spiritual masters, really. So let me do some service and try to repay the debt. And the benefit is enormous. What do they want you to do? Chant Hare Krishna. Teach others to chant Hare Krishna. Take these wonderful books and distribute them. Go on Harinam. Somehow or other, spread this movement, you know, for the benefit of others. That's why all of us are sitting here. Somebody felt like that, right? Some other follower of Prabhupada, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, felt it important to go out and try to give Krishna consciousness. And we were the lucky recipient. So this is what our dharma consists of, those things and the different process of devotional service. And the result of that is sharma. So we got this little phrase, you can remember. Karma, dharma, and sharma. We're bound up with karma. We need a dharma in order to break those bonds, and the result will be sharma. Now, we don't use this word so much, but I wanted to read the translation. What is it different if you go to the dictionary? Shelter, protection, refuge, safety, joy, bliss, comfort, delight, and happiness. Does anyone not want any one of those? Raise your hand. It's all good, right? This is what Krishna consciousness is giving us. You know, both in this world, as far as possible, you know, and in the next world, the final world, Goloka Vrindavan, never to return. So I like to read this description. You know, there's so many descriptions of the spiritual world, but perhaps the most famous, or one of the most famous, is that the end of the Brahma Samhita, where Lord Brahma, he's had a vision, he's watching it, he's seeing it, and he's describing what he's seeing here. So I'll say the Sanskrit. I worship that transcendental seat known as Shvetadvip, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, and the flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, which is never ever present and without past or future, and is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a second. That realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. So that's just an inkling of the description. You read Prabhupada's book, the Krishna book, the 10th canto, so many books that describe that world, which is the real world. This is a reflection world. This world is ephemeral. And we were describing this down in the Gainesville Center, how this is what we have to wake up from. It's kind of a dream. It's a dream that things here are so important. Everything here is very, very important, right? And we spend our lives, yes, I get this, I have to meet that person, I got to avoid that, go here, do this. But really, it's just, you know, I like to explain this, maybe I'm repeating myself, you may have heard it. As you get older, you know, near the end, then you can look back on your whole life and you can see, well, what was really important? What did I take to be so important before I met the devotees? You can remember your life, you know. I was so absorbed, you know, in the 60s, in the anti-war movement. I lived and breathed that. I thought that was the most important thing in the world. And certainly, you know, peace is important. But did we succeed? No. You know, there's no peace. There cannot be peace. There cannot be peace in this material world, really, for any length of time. There can be temporary peace. And individually, we can have peace internally by becoming Krishna conscious. Peace is defined in our shastra as really freedom from material desire. Krishna bhakti nishkama ata eva shanta. These are the words of Krishna in his form as Lord Chaitanya. He's teaching from Sanatana Goswami. Krishna bhakti nishkama ata eva shanta. To be free of all material desire, that's peaceful. Whereas otherwise, bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta. That those who want material benefits, whether they're poor or rich, you know, they cannot be peaceful. There's never enough, and even if you get what you want, you can lose it, or it doesn't meet your desires. The iPhone 5, right? People lined up around the block to get the iPhone 5. Now they throw it on the floor because they have iPhone 6, isn't it? Am I right? I don't have an iPhone. I don't have an iPhone, and I don't want an iPhone. Isn't that, that's the real opulence. I got a little flip phone, you know, $25 a month. That's all I need. So this world is geared toward infusing you with desires for things that you don't need and which you will buy with money you don't have. So you'll go into debt. Think about it. You know, the less you need, the more you can be happy with. It's peaceful. Think of the Goswamis. Chakpatur namashesha mandalapati shading sadat tuchavat. Raghunath Das, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, unbelievably rich. Think millionaires, 100 million, billionaires. Right? They were part of the government, Rupa and Sanatana. They could have whatever they want. You know? They met Lord Chaitanya. Chakpatur, quickly, without saying, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't? Quickly, they gave it up as very insignificant and became as poor as you can possibly be. No house, practically no clothes, hardly ever ate, what to speak of anything else, right? Bhutva Dina Ganesh Ko. For our benefit, for the Dina, for the benefits of the misery of the wretches of this world who didn't know about Krishna. They took on rejected clothes and walked around, lived under a tree every night, right? But so were they miserable? Prabhupada tells a story here on the tape. He knew during the war, World War II, you know, war means a lot of people, some people become very rich, a lot of people become very poor. Some lose their lives. So he knew a fellow who had been rich in Calcutta, and he lost everything. He couldn't live. He committed suicide. A materialist who suddenly becomes poor. If you're poor, you're born poor. Somehow you eke out a living, you know. You can live. A lot of poor people will live, you know. But if you're very rich and you lose everything, you jump out the windows, right, during the Big Depression. So, but these Goswamis, there's three of them at least, were extremely wealthy, and they became as poor as you can possibly be. They were as happy as could possibly be. Gopi bhavata samatabda lahadi kalola magnomu. Again and again, they're diving and surfing in the ocean, the nectar ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna, the highest state of consciousness you can have. So the point is, this sharma, this shelter, bliss, everything, is within us. This is the great treasure of Krishna consciousness, is that we all have the facility for experiencing it. If we act in the right way, if we follow the Dharma as given to us, we can all experience it because it's our birthright. Krishna is anandamayo bhyasat. By nature, he's full of bliss. We're part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vamsa jivaloki, these are my anksha. We have his qualities in minute degree. That's one of them. We're full of bliss. But we've lost that. We've forgotten it because we're tiny. Therefore, we're covered by the material energy. We're trying to experience the ananda in this world and being frustrated birth after birth. Did you know there's even a chemical? I think they used to think it was in chocolate and maybe another thing called anandamide. Yeah, anandamide, you know, some little intoxicant they're going on. They were hoping for ananda, but there's no anandamide in this world. We're looking for the real ananda. So we want to experience this sharma, we want to get it, and we have the opportunity. So if there's any questions on these points, I have a special little slideshow at the end here. I missed Radhastami here. We had wonderful Radhastami in San Diego. I had prepared a slideshow, but there was no time to show it. So it's only 2 weeks later. So I have this little slideshow of Radhashtaka, and also 10 names of Radharani with an incredible blessing. 10 names, that's like two little verses. And I can make that available. All of you could chant that and get a complete blessing. So if there are any questions on karma, dharma, and sharma, then I can entertain them now. Yes, Maharaj.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I'll repeat your question for the others.
In regards to karma in particular,
yeah.
Especially when explaining to others, when helping, you know, other people that are coming in and explaining, you know, the belief system and things like that, and why our activities are important. And when someone is first learning about these things, in particular with karma, when you explain some things about it, about how the situations that happen to us are either they're gonna be due to our past behaviors, past lives, or behaviors early in our lives, or maybe even by Krishna's special arrangement, because there's something particular he wants us to get into. That is to presented in a way that people are able to avoid the mindset of fatalism.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, well, what is the point of being making active decisions toward anything if, you know, rock's going to come crumbling my way anything because of something I did 6,000 years ago sort of mentality.
Yeah.
You know, what can we do to overcome that in ourselves and when we're helping others or explaining to others the concepts of karma to help avoid that sort
okay.
of mindset?
Okay. Thank you. Very good. Did everyone get that question? I think it was pretty clear. All right, I'll repeat. The question is to avoid fatalism, meaning that, well, it's all locked in, right? So what's the point of struggling? Actually, you find that a lot of that in India, you know, they're trying to gear everyone up for capitalism, you know, and work hard and you get ahead. And everyone's saying, well, you know, whatever is good come to me is going to come to me. So why should I work so hard? So actually, in one sense, we are fatalists on the material side. And that, Narada Muni, in his teachings to to Vyasadeva at the beginning of Bhagavatam in chapter 5. He's actually inspiring him to write the Bhagavatam, his final work. And he says, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmadama prayata talabhyate talabhyate dukavat anyatak sukham kale na sarvata gabhira rangasa. So he's saying that one should strive for that which you cannot achieve anywhere in this universe. In other words, don't strive for anything material because it's temporary. Because after all, just as your unhappiness comes automatically, no one goes out and says, "Oh, can I have some more misery?" You know. But even though we don't want that, it comes at us naturally. Similarly, the happiness that you do will also come automatically. Your material happiness. And this means that you may work very hard and make so much money, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be happier than the poor person. You know, you may get the disease, your kid gets kidnapped or whatever, you know. So we have a certain amount of material happiness and a certain amount of material distress. But what we should strive for, the beginning of the verse is prayateta means strive very hard for Krishna consciousness. That's in our hand. That is our independence right there. That which we cannot get in this world. And the fact is, I didn't chant that third line of the verse by Lord Brahma about karma. He says there, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. For those who are devotees, sincere devotees, bhakti bhajan, Krishna burns to ashes all our karma. So the point is that, yeah, we should be very sober-minded and realize that this world, I'm bound up in this world by my previous activities. And if I continue to act fruitively, meaning two things. One is I work to try to get material happiness, and I work very hard to avoid material distress. What is all this, you know, trillions of dollars spent on healthcare or health insurance, trying to ward off disease, right? You know, but ultimately, it doesn't work. So that's not going to help me, but I should strive for Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna will arrange my karma. He can wipe the whole thing out or give me just what I need to impel me on my devotional life, which you mentioned. In other words, when you become a devotee, Krishna takes charge of your karma. And you may get some unhappiness. You get some misery. He says, oh, the devotee says, yes, this is just reminding me. This is not my home. I have to really be serious about Krishna God. Or something may be very auspicious. You know, you may inherit some money or your health is, you know, you regain your health. Oh, Krishna's so kind. You know, he's given me more opportunity to serve him. So in both cases, you remain positive to Krishna. And then Lord Brahma says, in this case, if you have that mentality, then you buy a ticket back to Goloka Vrindavan. You see that? In other words, in every case, you're impelled to serve Krishna more sincerely. So the thing is, people, they see everything from the mindset of, well, you know, how can I benefit in this material world? And our answer is, don't try. You know, try to get close to Krishna and your material condition will become as auspicious as it can be. That's really the way it works. Any other comment, question? Yes, sir. How do you believe on it? I know this is going to be a tough question because he's very intelligent.
You're embarrassing me. On the verse from the Bhagavatam, I think is the second or third verse. One
about Dharma?
Dharma so, pradita kaitavutran. It rejects from the beginning all the cheating religions. But yes. On the second line also rejects all the cheating followers. Is that correct?
Dharma prajita kaita bhota padamoni matsaranam satam vedyam.
Only those who have a clean heart are no angels.
They can truly understand the Bhagavatam. That's what they said. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Vedyam means they can truly understand the import of the Bhagavatam. Those who are nimatsaranams, free of all envy, and who are satam, mean they're devotees. So it's meant for the devotees, but it doesn't mean that, oh, if I'm not a devotee, I shouldn't read Bhagavatam, if I'm not a pure devotee. In other words, to fully drink in the nectar of the Bhagavatam and appreciate, we should strive to be pure devotees. The Prabhupada has written it such a way with his purports that he helps us along to become pure devotees. You know what I'm saying? In other words, yes, you're right. The gross materialists, they won't even be interested, you know, because there's nothing in here for sense gratification. So they won't even strive to understand what the speaker be able to understand. But the real devotees, they never want to stop reading Bhagavatam. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they're the ones who really appreciate purely. So even at the beginning, he's encouraging us to come to the highest stage. In the next verse, he says, all rasikas constantly drink this Bhagavatam, which is like a liquid, like a ripened mango. Have you ever one? I had one in San Diego recently. It was so perfect. You know, you cut it open, it's like you drink it. It's so sweet. You know what I mean? So that's what the Bhagavatam is. It's the ripened fruit, been touched by Shuka, and very sweet. And we should, but the Bhagavatam, it's imperative. Drink it. You know, all rasikas. Well, I'm not a rasika yet. You know, I'm pure. Yeah, well, you drink it anyway, and then you become one.
Thank you.
All right. So shall we have our little special Radhashtika? Okay, here we go. So this is the Sri Radhashtika. Let me just... Now what this is, if I can... Okay. So this is my English rendition. Many of you may have heard this before, of an ashtaka from the Govinda Lilamrita, which is sung by the female parrot called the Shari. And we didn't want to do that. Hare Krishna. How do we go to the next one? Just hit the space bar or the down? Let's see if we can. We should have a whole slideshow there. It's not a PowerPoint. It's just a bunch of JPEGs. Is there a program on there to read JPEGs? It must be something. It's not a PowerPoint. It's just a series of... it's just a file, a folder with JPEGs in it. That's it. Okay. I don't know if you can do full screen, but you should be able to read it. All right, let me just explain what this is. So these eight verses, I'll just give you a sampling of the Sanskrit. Kunkamata kancha namja gavahadi godaba pita nanchi tadja ganda kirti nindi soraba ballavesha suna sava vanchi tarti sadika maya matma para padma dasya dasu radika. So that's the original Sanskrit. And I put it into, it's not word for word, but it's inspired. So, can we strike up the band? Yeah. Who can play the drum? Simple little beat, not too fast. And, you can play kartals? Okay. It's just very easy, you can see. Okay. So what I would, if I can request you, you can read along, and you can, if you like your chant, but at least come in on the refrain. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. And then we'll have a picture of Radharani, and we can sing a little Hare Krishna and go on to the end. You'll see the benefits are enormous. Okay, D. Her gold complexion steals the pride of golden lotus tinged with red. Her fragrance mocks the scent of lotus bloom with saffron powder spread. Her skill in satisfying Sri Hari is perfect and complete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram. Her wondrous silken garments shame the splendor rubies can display. She is a blooming garden where the bee of Krishna loves to play. Worship Surya every day so she and Madhava can meet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Eclipsed by Radha's tenderness, the fame of budding blossoms in the moon, the lotus, sandal paste and camphor serve her cooling limbs. When Krishna burns with love's desires, her soothing touch dispels the heat. Radhika, bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Though youthful goddesses adored by all the adore the goddess Sri, she lacks Sri Radha's beauty, youth, and every other quality. So when it comes to lover sports with Radha, no one can compete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram. In arts like dancing, singing, joking, Radha is by far the best. She shines with countless grace divine, like love and gorgeous form and dress. Among the famous gopis of Vrindavan, she's supremely sweet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Eternal pastime, beauty, youth, and love for Krishna make her rich. The loving gopis tremble just to see that love at highest pitch. Her meditation on Sri Krishna's form and pastimes is complete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus. May Radhika bestow on me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Perspiring, trembling, hairs on end, and crying, faltering of the voice. Impatience, joy, and guile, these signs of rapture make her friends rejoice. For Krishna's eyes, these many gem-like ecstasies provide a treat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Apart from Krishna for a moment, Radha feels anxiety and restlessness and other moods, the highest kind of ecstasy. But when she meets him with some effort, all her sufferings retreat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Exalted goddesses like Parvati can hardly ever see. Sri Krishna's lover Radhika, but if a humble devotee recites these verses, then Sri Radha, who enjoys with Sri Hari, will pour the nectar of her service down on him eternally. Will pour the nectar of her service down on him eternally. Ah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Premanande, Hare Hare Lord. Okay, so this next one we'll do. I hadn't counted on not having a program to show JPEGs. But the next one is only 3 slides. So the first one is says, the Sri Ananda Chandrika Stotra. Can we get that first slide in there? Okay, it's right near the end. Slide number, I don't know, 22. 20, there we go. Well, we got the name. All right, that's the text. All right, no, well, leave that. I don't know. That's some other thing. It's at the top with the, yeah, that's it. Now, at the bottom of that file, hit that, and then go back. Can you just go back? Can't go back. Okay. All right, one more. That's it, okay. So, what is it? Next time, we'll get it right. So this is a poem written by Rupa Goswami called the Ananda Chandrika Stotra, which means the moonlight of bliss, and it consists of only 10 names of Radharani. I actually printed it out, which I'm intending to give to Shankar Prabhu, who wanted it. But I can make it available to any of you. So 10 names. It's just 2 little verses. And if we can, we'll chant this together, because the benefits are unbelievable. And we'll read the English too. Radha Damodara Preshta Radhika Varshabhanavi Samasta Ballavi Vrinda Dhammilottan Samallika. So these are 10 names. 1, Radha. 2, she who is dear to Lord Damodar. 3, Krishna's greatest worshipper, Radhika. 4, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. And 5, she who is the jasmine chaplet. Chaplet is a garland for the head. She was the jasmine chaplet decorating the braided hair of all the other gopis. Second verse. Krishna Priyavali. Okay, we really need to chant this one. Do whatever you have to do to get to the next one. I know we can do it. Forward. That's it. Okay, hold it. Krishna Priyavali Mukhya Gandharva Lalita Sakhi Vishaka Sakya Sugini Hari Vrin Bringa Manjari. 6. The foremost of Krishna's beloveds. 7. An expert singer and musician. 8. Lalita's friend. 9. She who was delighted by Vishaka's friendship. And 10. The flower blossom attracting the honeybee of Lord Krishna's heart. Now, here's the benefits you get. I'll just read this in English. If you can get the next verse or next slide. One who recites this confidential prayer, which you just did, which bears the name Ananda Chandrika, the moonlight of bliss, and consists of 10 enchanting names of Srimati Radharani, the queen of Vrindavan, such a person becomes free of all troubles and decorated with all good fortune. That person quickly becomes the object of Sri Sri Radha Madhava's mercy. So you all qualify now. It doesn't say you have to chant it with pure bliss or faith or in Vrindavan. So you all chanted it, so it's coming. Now it's up to you how fast it comes, but it is coming. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.